John Shelby Spong, This Hebrew Lord, Chapter 3. I am a Hebrewphile. No other people on the face of the earth do I admire the way that I admire the Hebrews. I would love to discover somewhere in my ancestry that I was the recipient of Jewish blood. I can easily understand why Adolf Hitler made them the victims of his persecution. He was determined to prove his master race theories on behalf of the Aryan people. As long as the Jewish people existed, no claim of superiority on the part of any other national group could be unchallenged. My prejudice in the Hebrews' favor is inordinate because only after I got inside the Hebrew mind did I perceive the meaning of both my world and my Christ. I am convinced that if the Bible is going to be understood in our day, we must develop Hebrew eyes and Hebrew attitudes towards life. The Bible is a Hebrew book telling the story of the Hebrew people. Jesus was a Hebrew Lord. We, on the other hand, are Western people sharing a very diverse and sometimes contradictory heritage that comes from many sources. We have been shaped to some major degree by the Hebrew Scriptures. The sacredness of individual life and the sense of progress in history, for instance, are part of our common Hebrew inheritance. But we have also been molded and formed by the philosophical culture of ancient Greece, especially its dominant Platonic and Neoplatonic traditions. These two strands of our heritage, the Hebrew and the Greek, are not easily harmonized, for they have some very basic incompatibilities that give our history both attention and a dynamism. One might normally be led to expect that the religious part of our Western world was shaped by our Hebrew background, and that the secular, modern mood of our day represents the gift of the worldly Greeks. Strangely enough, I think that the exact opposite is the case. When I analyze the language, the concepts, the understandings, the meanings, and traditional religious patterns today, I discover that they come to us not from our biblical Hebrew heritage at all. Rather, they are the direct outgrowth of the Neoplatonic roots of Greek philosophy. To compound the paradox, it's my contention that the particularly modern attitude, worldly, non-religious, scientifically oriented, is far more Hebraic and biblical than the modern mind dares to imagine. So, how did this strange contrast come about? How did Christian people who acknowledge a first-century Hebrew man to be their Lord come to express their faith in the religious categories of the Greek mind? How is it that those who think of themselves as non-religious, secular people also think quite biblically, quite Hebraically? Let us look at our roots. If I could draw a diagram that would adequately depict, for me, a Hebrew view of reality, I would draw two circles, a smaller one within a larger one. The small circle would represent the world. The larger circle would represent God. To the Hebrew, God and the world were not antithetical, nor were they identical. God was the creator. The world was the creature. God was bigger than the creation, but the creation revealed the creator's glory. The Hebrew creation story affirmed the goodness of life. It was creation ex nihilo. That is, God was totally responsible for the material, physical stuff of life. God made it all. And when it was complete, God surveyed it and pronounced it was good indeed. The physical world was the object of God's love. It was showered with God's blessings, sunshine and rainfall. For human life, a garden was built called Eden. God walked in the garden in the cool of the evening, Genesis 3:8. Material things were good. They were meant to be used. Physical things were good. They were meant to be appreciated. Life was good. It was meant to be lived. The world was good. It was the object of the divine love and was therefore meant to be engaged. With great joy, the Hebrews could sing of God's world and God's creation. So, as we noted previously, to be spiritual, for the Hebrews, meant to be alive to God and alive to the world. It did not mean to be pious or otherworldly. To have faith, for the Hebrew, was to have the courage to enter life. For that is where God is to be found, always calling us into tomorrow.